return in our series to the Ten Commandments today. I have felt drawn to them, and what I would describe as a life-giving gift that the Ten Commandments are to us. I heard a long time ago, and it really resonated with me about commandments, about the law of God, about things in the Scriptures that are God speaking strongly to us. That really comes from a professor, Dr. Lawhead, that I had long ago in seminary. And Dr. Lawhead loved the law of Moses, and he conveyed that to us. And one of the things that Dr. Lawhead talked about was what a loving gift the commandments of God are. We can look at them as a list of rules and miss completely the heart of God. Well, I believe that the Ten Commandments are life-giving. Their purpose is to be life-giving, and I see them as God's truth. They were when they were given, and I see them as important for us today to understand the heart of God and God's blessing for us. I also would describe the Ten Commandments as a foundation of relationship with God and with men. Ten Commandments aren't the entire thing. There's a lot of things that we can look at in the Scriptures that help us to understand a foundation for our relationship with God. But the Ten Commandments are, I believe, part of that. And to me, a significant a part of that about relationship. And so we kind of asked that question, and as we've come into this series, just given the thought to, what about today? What about those Ten Commandments today? Should they be authoritative to us? Should we teach them to our children? Should they be a basis of our ethic and what we believe? And obviously, you know that I believe that they are very valuable to us, and we should embrace them. And this series is a lot about that. Not so much trying to hammer on you that they are authoritative, because that's something you got to decide as you weigh the Word of God in your life. But I want us to look at a little bit deeper what the Ten Commandments are and why they're special. What is God saying to us in these commandments? Could it be that sometimes we look at them as a rigid set of rules and not so much to see beneath them to the very heart of God? And how he sees us and how he relates to us and how we relate to them. And so the series, are they deeper than sometimes we give them credit for? Maybe sometimes it's good to go a little bit deeper. We have a lot of little things we might say about them. You could call them quippy quotes or something. You know, we boil them down to just a little statement, and sometimes that helps us, but maybe God is addressing deeper things within the human heart too, and things that are a part of our nature that he wants to speak to us. And going deeper, I think there's value in doing that. I am reminded, and I said a few weeks ago, the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. When I think about that scripture, it's significant to me when I read that, that two times God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Of course, the first time, Moses threw the tablets down on the ground out of anger because of the sin of the people. And then God later called him back up to the mountain and said, chisel out two more tablets, and I will write on them my commandments for my people. And what he wrote on them was the Ten Commandments. And then Moses brought them back down the mountain, and they became the first part, the foundational part of the law of Moses and the law of God. So right there, they're at the front, the beginning of something very special from God. The Ten Commandments are the first part, the first installment, however you want to describe it, of something important that God wanted his people to have. And it was important to God. They come from the heart of God. They say things about the character of God and what God envisions for those that would be his people, for those that would say, yes, I want to honor God. I want to honor the Creator. And this is something that he gave us so that we would be able to honor him and live a good life. They were first given, of course, specific directions to Abraham's descendants, the Jewish people. The context of the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus is God brought them out of slavery and they wandered in the desert, and God told Moses to come up on the holy mountain, and he wanted to give a covenant to the people. a covenant of how they would live and the kind of attitude they would have and the priorities they would have, how they would treat people and how they would treat God. And so that became for those people in the Old Testament the covenant of relationship. And so here we are now, 3,500 years later, in the church, the body of Christ, having believed in Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, that we don't earn our way to heaven by how we live, by how we keep the Ten Commandments. We go to heaven because God sent His Son to die for our sins, and we accept Him. So our righteousness does not get us to heaven. But there's something very important about the righteousness of the Ten Commandments that I think it's a mistake to leave behind and not embrace and talk about. Now, we still live in a fallen world. Ten Commandments were given in a fallen world to a people that God wanted to honor Him, wanted to be known in identity by who they were and who God was. We live in that same fallen world. We live in a world of sin. We live in a world where the Ten Commandments define sin a lot like it would have back 3,500 years ago. As people come to the place of believing that they are sinners and they need a holy God, the Ten Commandments is a place that God has given us that we can go back to and say, how does your life measure up to what God has given us? The Ten Commandments are a place, a marker, a way for sin to be measured. And then there's that deeper part that comes in. Well, let's go to the first commandment this morning. Eight words. I want to ask you, what is God wanting here? What is God wanting for us? And I want to ask that question with every commandment. What is God wanting in this commandment for us? I believe that each commandment addresses a need within the human heart. And God chose 10. I don't know if I was making them, what list I would have or how many, whether 8 or 12. I don't know. This is the list God gave us. And inside each commandment is a need. Is a need. So I'd like you to consider this morning as we think about this for commandment, what is the need within the human heart that God is addressing in the first commandment? I have a 49-second video that I want you to watch. And I've asked him to show it twice. I think it's a great video, but it's going to go by real fast. So I'm going to ask you to play it twice. And I want you to think about, what's your need in regards to the first commandment?
Today, I'm unreal. Because even though everybody thinks that I'm this really happy person, I'm not. So I'll keep searching, trying to find that thing that'll just make life click or make sense until something grabs my attention. And then it'll become so important that I'll start treating it like it's God or something. And the funny thing is at those moments that everybody thinks that I'm the most happy. But it's all fake. It's not real. Even though everybody thinks that I'm this really happy person, I'm not. So I'll keep searching, trying to find that thing that'll just make life click or make sense until something grabs my attention. And then it'll become so important that I'll start treating it like it's God or something. And the funny thing is at those moments that everybody thinks that I'm the most happy. But it's all fake. It's not real.
The first commandment, I believe, is both about God and about us. We need relationship with God. We desperately need meaning in our lives. The world throws at us so much, so many possibilities, so many distractions, so many toys, so many experiences. Some that are very good, some that are very painful, and all in between. I believe the first commandment, God understands the brokenness of the human heart, the loneliness that people feel, the need for belonging, the need to be connected to the Creator. The first commandment seems to me to be about being connected to the Creator. A marvelous, amazing, loving, powerful, omniscient, omnipresent Creator God. He wants to be connected to you and to me. There's an emptiness inside of the human heart without this. There's a longing, a striving, an unhappiness without being connected to the God who made us. I want to read this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, another scripture. And I want to read it because to me, it does say something about this need of belonging and desire. The book of Deuteronomy, you might know, is the other book in the Bible that lists all the commandments together in a list, like Exodus chapter 20. They appear together twice in the Bible in a full list, one in Exodus 20 and one in Deuteronomy chapter 10. No, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but I want to read from chapter 10 this morning. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens and earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords and great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. These words describe a God of relationship, reaching down, not leaving us to be alone. In his superior, infinite, marvelous, divine nature, he yet reaches down to us for relationship. He made us to need relationship. He made us to need connections, both with him and to people. And so, not surprisingly, the Ten Commandments are about that. Relationship with God and relationship with other people. Looking at this passage, what does God ask of you? That's kind of a fair question. Several places in the Bible, you have that question. What does God ask of me? My favorite, what I call my life verse, comes out of one of those questions in one of the prophets. But here the question is asked, what does God ask of you? And then there's four words that are given in response here. Number one is, God asks of you. And these are all heart statements. It's not exactly about what you do, but it's where you're at, what you believe, what your heart longs for, holds on to. Number one is to walk in all his ways. To live life. Live life every day. Committed to him. Your life is in him, the New Testament says, in Jesus. Your life is with him and in him, and in all things, he is superior. He is the head of the church, even Christ. God wants you to walk every day like that. Not a day of your life God says, okay, let's disconnect for a while, do your own thing, and then come back to me. No, he wants a walking, living relationship. And he says here, and we'll talk about more throughout this series, what does God want from you? God wants you to love him. That's pretty simple. Love him. We all understand how love's important in life and relationships, and nobody here today would say, hey, I don't care about love. That just, you know, we might say it, but we don't really feel that way. Because love is a part of connection. It's a part of how we're designed. That's what God wants of you. That's what he asks of you. Love him. Sounds pretty simple. Love him. How we love him, I believe, is contained in part in the Ten Commandments. How do we love God? Well, we love him by seeing what he's given us and living according to them. Number three, what does God ask of you? To serve the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. All your heart. Everything. God's not a partial type God. Some gods are partial out there. God wants all of your heart, your affections. Once you give them to God and you know that you can trust him, then God is so giving and blessing you with life and opportunities and so many good things. What does God ask of you? Number four, to observe his commandments. That's what it says here in this verse. And observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. That's pretty simple. Four words. Four words to think about. Four words to take home. What does God ask of you? To walk, to love, to serve, to observe. If you just want to use four fingers, you could. What's God want from me? He want me to stand on my head and look spiritual? Want me to try to be perfect and try to fix everybody's problems in the world, including my own? Try to straighten everybody out there? Try to build the kingdom by myself? What does God want from me? It's pretty simple. And it begins in the heart. Walk, love, serve, observe. And then the question comes, why does God want these things? That seems like a really good question. Why does God want this? And in verse 13, we have the answer. It says, for your own good. Why does God give us his commandments? It's for our own good. Why does God want us to have no other gods before him? It's for our own good. Something about relationship and an infinite, almighty, mighty God, almighty God who, I don't know quite how to say it theologically, he doesn't have any needs. Or maybe he does. I don't know. But the point is, we don't serve God so his life is better. We don't obey God so his life is better. His eternal, infinite nature is improved. No. We do these things, and God asks us to do these things because, in verse 13, it is for your own good. So if you ever wrestle with something, a commandment or a principle in the scripture, or your parents telling you, don't do that because... why? It's for your own good. And trusting God is like that. Now I have beautiful grandchildren, and you know, if one of them's about to do something to hurt themselves, I jump up and, wait a minute, Kai, don't grab that knife, you know? Why do I do that? You know why I do that. Because I don't want him to be hurt. Imagine a heavenly, loving, infinite, eternal Father. Why would he tell us, thou shalt not steal? Is it because we're going to be taken from him? It's because it's what's best for us. That when you think about the commandments of God from beginning to end and how you measure them, and remember that God gives them to us because it's for our own good. And he cares so much about who we are. God is an unselfish God. I think about how to describe God God is a jealous God. That's next week. But he's an unselfish, jealous God. If you understand what it means that God is unselfish, just like trying to say a good mother out there loves that child and would not let that child go out in traffic, not because she's being selfish, because she loves that child. That's the way God is about commandments. God never gives us commandments because he's hostile toward us, but because he wants what's best for us. The first commandment, I believe, is of great benefit to us. Number one, it helps us to understand the heart of God. What's important to him? What's important in life? See, when we look at it through God's eyes, life is different than we look through it through fallen man's eyes and what's important. Man might think possessions, prestige, power, all kinds of things. A beautiful car. An education. But when we hear the heart of God, we really hear, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," we hear about the heart of God. We also, when we hear the commandments of God, it helps us to understand the magnitude of God, how big God is. I mean, we kind of know that when we say he's infinite, but really, when we hear the commandments and we see them as God speaking to us, it helps us to understand the magnitude of who God is. Not only his heart, but the bigness of God. And when I say big, I mean how other God is than us. There's some ways that we're similar, but there's a lot that we should not take for granted about how great and magnificent and glorious God is. The commandments somehow set up some kind of a code that helps us to remember that God's in charge. God is the creator. And even if you want to think that you run your own life, the truth is you really don't. You have so much control in your life, but for one thing, you'll take your last breath. For once is appointed for man to die, and after this, the judgment. When we see the commandments and how God wants us to live, and when we see how we don't measure up to them, we see a little bit more the magnitude of who God is. I also think that it helps us understand the holiness of God. How holy God is. The character, the moral nature of an infinite God. I mean, we think of physical nature, we think of an eternal nature, but think about the moral nature of God and what it means to be morally holy, completely. The Ten Commandments are God's way of trying to bridge the gulf to the human heart of what is important to God, his holiness. Verse 14 says, "To the Lord, your God, belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, and the earth, and everything in it." Here's Moses trying to express something about this holiness of magnitude of God. He says, everything in the heavens belongs to him. Everything on the earth belongs to him. He is an amazing God. And so he deserves something. He deserves that we would hold him higher than anything else. That we would hold him higher than our hobbies. How do we do that? What happens when we don't do that? What happens inside our spiritual being when we do not hold God at the highest place? What happens when other things are more important to us than God is? I'll tell you, it's not for our own good. There's something that's diminished. Whether you think in terms of your talents or your time, your abilities, your interests, the things that excite you, the things things that you spend your time on. You know, I've heard it said, and I heard it this week, that you know a lot about a person by looking at their checkbook. That's true. You know a lot about their character. But I want to say, you know a lot about a person by looking at their calendar, too. Just how busy are we with the things of life? And what's right? What's enough? What's too much? I didn't come here today to tell you how you live out the first commandment, but to challenge you today that you give God the place in your life that He deserves. Don't be afraid to ask the hard questions inside of you. God, am I honoring you with my life? Are other things in my life in front of you? God deserves our best, our respect. And it is all about love. It is. You remember Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He simply quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I mean, Jesus was asked one day, Jesus, you're the boss, you're the smart one, tell us. What's the most important one in the Old Testament? What's he come up with? Well, he came up with what was written already. He said, love God with all that you are. That's it. And he said, and the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't those two things describe the Ten Commandments? Really? When you read what they are, they seem to me. Much of it. But then it's what Jesus said after that too, that I think it's important for us to weigh and to try to incorporate into our faith. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. That's pretty instructive right there. All the law and prophets. Every single one of the laws. The Ten Commandments, the 640 whatever, every word of the prophets, every word of the writings, every word of the Psalms, every word of prophecy, they all hang on these two commandments. Love God with all that you are. So I'd say to you today, you want to honor God with your life, ask that question within. Am I loving God with everything that I am? Because that's what God wants in your life, in your heart. And I believe every one of the Ten Commandments help us to reinforce that law of love. I think the Ten Commandments reinforce that law of love. They remind us. They're little pieces that help us to see that law of love. That God wants us to live according to that law of love. In fact, underneath every law in the Bible is the law of love. To prop it up, to give it fullness, to give it meaning. I think, well, where are the commandments enforced throughout the Bible? I was thinking of Jesus, thinking of his temptation in the wilderness soon after he began his ministry. And what does he say? Turn to it if you want to. Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Go down to verse 10. I'll start with verse 8 for the context. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How did Jesus respond to the temptation to worship something else? How did Jesus respond? The Son of God, the Messiah. But how did he respond when he was tempted to worship something else? He quoted the first commandment. Jesus went back there in his life. And I think that's instructive for us as well. Underneath every law in the Bible is a law of love. Verse 15 of our text in Deuteronomy 10. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you. What's Moses saying here? He's saying, you understand that God gives you this law because he chose you. He loves you. He wants you. This is a great gift. He chooses us for relationship. And he knows how to make us better and stronger. He knows how to give us fulfillment and meaning in our lives. He is the great creator. And he calls us to love him back. The next chapter, verse 1, 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. Love the Lord your God. All throughout Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is one of them loving books. You probably, maybe haven't read Deuteronomy for a while, but you know, Deuteronomy is about relationship. So many places that tells us that. He calls us to love him back. One of the ways you do that, I believe, is by understanding that first commandment. What God is saying to us in that. Will you say it with me this morning? You shall have no other gods before me. Say that again. Stand up, would you? I use the word you there. We'll go by what's on there. You shall have no other gods before me. Maybe ask God to show you, are there things in your life that have become gods? Are there things in your life that have dulled your senses to the glory and the wonder and the majesty of an almighty God? The God, in closing, the God who gave us the commandment is a loving God. He is a God of personality. He's not to be treated like a thing, but as a person. And he's a God who wants your heart, every part of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the commandments. Thank you for the privilege that we have to read them and think about them and pray, God, that you would apply them to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.